This evening, the scripture reading will come from Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and then down to verses 9 and 10. Luke 11, 1 through 4, and then down to 9 and 10. One day, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened."
Good evening. Good to see everybody here. We had a verse in our Bible study this morning that was really a powerful one in Colossians chapter 4 on the subject of prayer. In verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, also praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." Paul thought it was important to emphasize the importance of prayer. And not only is prayer important in the life of every Christian, Paul recognized that he needed prayers as well. And I was thinking, because we're getting ready to change subjects again on Wednesday night, and I was thinking of several of the series of lessons that we have had. And we have had a lot of good lessons on prayer. I remember one of the series that Alan had, there was a whole lesson on prayer. I think the last series that I did had an entire lesson on prayer. And prayer is something that is so important that we need to continue to look at the role that prayer should play in our life. And I thought maybe tonight it would be a good idea to look at prayer in the life of Jesus. Although Jesus taught several lessons about prayer, and we see many examples of Jesus praying, he didn't say a lot about why prayer was important to him. The clearest statement that I could find where Jesus talked about his own prayer life is in John chapter 11. The occasion was on the death of his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11 and verse 4. When Jesus learned of Lazarus' death, he didn't go immediately to Bethany. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. In verse 4 of John chapter 11, Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it." And even though Jesus knew that, he was unprepared for the grief that he would see and experience because of Lazarus' death. Martha was distraught to the point where she questioned Jesus. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, then my brother would not have died." John chapter 11 and verse 21. Mary joined Jesus at the tomb and fell down at his feet, saying in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In verse 33, we read that when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then in verses 35 and 6, one of the shortest, most concise verses in the New Testament, we read where Jesus wept. What a lesson that was about the compassion that Jesus had. We sing the hymn, "Does Jesus Care?" Oh, yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And the people's response to Jesus was, "See how he loved him." So then what did Jesus do? What came most naturally to him? So in John 11 and verse 41, they took Jesus to where the dead man was lying. He prayed. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And then with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. What did prayer mean to Jesus? Well, it meant everything. He knew that God would hear him, that God always heard him. He wanted everyone to know that what they were about to witness was in the form of God's answer to a prayer to him. Jesus did talk about prayer in the life of Christians. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, he spoke about wrong motives to pray. He talked about men who would pray standing in the street corners so that they might be seen of men. He gave a lesson on how to pray. He told a parable or two that illustrated belief in and persistence in prayer. But the primary way that Jesus teaches us about prayer is by his own example. It was in response to his example in our scripture reading tonight that someone came to him asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. Yes, Jesus gave us the model prayer, the template, if you will, for what prayer should contain and things of that nature. But we certainly need to know more about prayer in Jesus' life. Wouldn't you like to have the kind of praying relationship to God that Jesus had? How many of us are able to say as Jesus did, Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. Well, that is a tremendous statement of faith in prayer. And truly, that is a statement of faith that all of us should be able to have, to know that God hears us when we pray. And so tonight I want to look at the prayer life of Jesus so he can teach us to pray. One thing you cannot help but see is the amount of time that Jesus spent in prayer. Although the Gospels only show us 3 years from the life of Jesus and reference only about 30 individual days, there are 20 recorded incidences of Jesus praying. One thing that we must not think is that Jesus was like a monk who would sequester himself and remain inside away from people, spending all of his time praying. Jesus was an extremely busy individual. He was seeking and saving the lost. Every day was spent with people teaching and healing, even feeding them. Someone has counted nearly 150 interviews where Jesus was speaking individually to people. Sometimes he was speaking to multitudes. Sometimes he was speaking to just one individual. But there are 150 different incidences where we see people talking to Jesus. And so we get an idea about how important that Jesus' ministry was to him. How often do we convince ourselves that the reason we do not pray as we ought to is because we're just too busy? Do we really consider ourselves to be busier than Jesus was? Busy with what? And yet, Jesus found time to pray. No, the truth is that Jesus made time to pray. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, after a day in which Jesus had been spending the entire day with individual people, with people continually bringing to him those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, even after the sun had set, we read that in the morning, having risen early before the sun came up, that Jesus went and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we read of another occasion. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. No, Jesus did not find time to pray. Jesus made time to pray. Our attitude toward prayer depends upon the strength that we derive from it. Have you ever been so busy, so emotionally involved in something, that you didn't take time to eat? we may have had an experience like that. But when we could, when loved ones compelled you, you need to eat something. You knew that that you needed to in order to maintain your strength to meet whatever challenge it is that you were facing. In the same way, like food for physical strength, we need prayer in order to have spiritual strength. I've heard the difference in perspective illustrated this way. One person says, I have so many demands today, so many things that I am contending with, pressing me, that I cannot possibly take time for prayer. On the other hand, someone else looks at this in a different way and says, I have so many demands in my life, so many things pressing me today, that I will not possibly be able to take this day on until I first have gone to God in prayer. And so we have to recognize that if we are going to have time to pray, we are going to have to make time to pray. Most of us pray spontaneously. Our thoughts may turn to God as we drift off to sleep at night, or perhaps even in the morning commute. You may find yourself in a traffic jam thinking about your need to spend that time in prayer. But how many of us have a set time to pray? We're much more likely to do something if we, as Jesus, separate ourselves to a specific time and place to pray. You know, I find that most people are either morning people or night owls. Now, I bet we could poke our mates and confer with one another, and I would say that most of us probably can be identified as a morning person or someone who's a night owl. If it is that you are a morning person, then instead of hitting the snooze alarm for an extra half an hour's sleep before you get up to go to work, maybe you should think about praying during that half an hour of time. I have a friend, or had a friend, who had an extremely stressful job and an extra busy life. And I was talking to him one time, and he was just talking about the challenge to manage his life, to manage his job, to manage the work that he did with the church. He was an elder in the church. And he said, every night when I get ready to go to bed, he said, usually I'm just spent. And I need to do something to wind down before I can go to sleep. And so he said what he would do every night was that he would watch the news. Now, I don't know that I could watch the news to wind down now. This was something that he told me some years ago. And then he said that he would spend the next half an hour watching the Tonight Show. And I think it was Jay Leno who was on the Tonight Show at that time. Well, he told me that one change he had made that had helped him most was most spiritually, and just to manage and make an effective use of his time, was to spend that last hour of the day with the Lord instead of Leno. And I thought that that was well stated. If we're going to learn from Jesus how to pray, we're going to have to take time for prayer. We're going to have to make time for prayer. A second thing that we can learn about prayer by looking at Jesus is that prayer is a solitary thing. Jesus usually prayed alone. Yes, there were times when Jesus prayed with his apostles, but not as many times as you may think. Even when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, taking Peter, James, and John with him, he instructed them to pray that they might not enter into temptation. Then when he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's throw, we are told, he knelt down and prayed. There are times when it's good for us to pray together. Public prayer is a part of the worship of the church. James tells us that it should be a part of our relationship with other Christians. We're to confess our sins one to another and pray one for another. And certainly, those prayers will draw us closer together, and they will strengthen our fellowship. But prayer is essentially a private matter. I heard a story about a little boy who mother would always put him to bed at night, and she would lean down beside the bed and listening to him making his prayers. Well, one night she was sitting there waiting for her son to say his prayers, and she tapped him. She said, "Son, I can't hear you." And he said, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." Prayer is a private, personal communication between man and God. I can share things with God that I could not and would not share with anyone. And God is a safe haven for us to turn to in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, we are told that Jesus, in the fifth verse, Jesus warned that we should not be like the hypocrites, for he said they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets that they may be seen of men. Years ago when in the first congregation where I was preaching, and I like to talk about Caldwell because there's a few people here that that have experience in Caldwell. So I'm going to mention something in Caldwell. There was a restaurant in downtown Caldwell called Gunnell's. And Gunnell's was a family-style restaurant. We're talking now in 1976, I think it would have been, about that time. And it was the only family restaurant in town. It was good. They had the best fried chicken. You could get a three-piece dinner for $2.75. So how long ago do you think that was? But since it was the only sit-down restaurant in town, good family restaurant, just about everyone who had gone to church that morning would end up at Gunnell's for Sunday dinner. The different churches got out at different times. And I remember that there was one man who was a preacher in that town who would normally come in late. After a while, I began being a little suspicious of that. But I remember that he came in, although everyone had been eating. And you know, during that time, it was not unusual to see prayers being offered at every table. And you still see that some. But I think that's, again, a very positive witness for Christians. And I still notice, and other people notice, when somebody has the Lord in their heart to the point where they are sitting down to dinner and praying together. But this fella came in, and he got everybody's attention. And he told us all to be quiet, and he led us in a very eloquent prayer. Well, according to Jesus, those who pray to receive the praise or attention of men have received their reward. But Jesus said, but you, when you pray, enter into your room. The King James Version says closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. There are times when we see the spiritual blessings that God is showering upon someone. And we may not have any insight to that person's personal or private relationship to God. But I have the thought that if someone is being blessed spiritually, they are praying people. Because if we are truly walking with God, we will communicate with God. And so whenever we may be struggling in our Christian lives, feeling weak or distant from God, we might consider this: where is your prayer closet? Where is that time and where is that place during the day that makes your heart and thoughts and prayers automatically turn to God? And if we are struggling in our relationship to God, then we are more than likely are not praying as we should. A second thing that teaches us about prayer from the life of Jesus are the times when Jesus prayed. Most of us don't need to be encouraged to pray when we are struggling. A few years ago, a young woman in our congregation told me that she had just graduated from college. And she had graduated maybe three or four months earlier. And she had yet to find a good job. And she told me, "I find myself praying now more than ever." And I said, "Good for you." But then I wonder, after she had that good job, would she continue to pray more than ever? And knowing her, I believe that she truly did. As we look at Jesus, he went from being an unknown itinerant to the center of attention. Jesus was becoming so famous, I guess you might say, so popular. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, we are told that the report went around about him all the more, and great multitudes came to hear him and be healed by him of their infirmities. How did Jesus deal with this newfound success? In verse 16, we read that, "So he himself often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed." In John the 6th chapter, after Jesus had healed the 5,000, there began what might have become a Jesus mania. In verse 15, we are told that Jesus perceived that they were about to take him by force and make him king. Well, that would not have been good. They wanted him for the wrong reasons, and the only kingdom that Jesus wanted to rule was God. So how did Jesus deal with the pressures of success? Well, he again departed to the mountains alone to pray. Success is often a greater challenge than struggle. I have known talented preachers who have succeeded who have succumbed to the lure of popularity, who have lost what could have been a very faithful, fruitful ministry. They were looking for opportunities that they could turn into success instead of looking for responsibilities that they could turn into service. Jesus kept his level head. Jesus remained faithful to his mission by prayer. Jesus prayed when he found himself at a crossroad, at a true moment when important decisions needed to be made. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we read, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountains to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God." Now, what was pressing so intently on Jesus' mind that he prayed all night long? Well, in verse 13 of Luke chapter 6, we read, "And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 that he also called apostles." So if Jesus felt it necessary to pray for God's guidance and wisdom in making an important decision, then certainly we should as well. I wonder how many times churches have appointed elders or hired preachers or chosen Bible class teachers without imploring God for wisdom in their decision. And I wonder what the consequences of those prayerless decisions have been. How many of us have made career decisions, decided upon who to marry, or what to involve our children in, or 100 other important life-altering decisions, content to lean upon our own understanding instead of leaning upon the Lord? We are promised, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given him." When we do not pray, we limit ourselves to the counsel of those who know least what is truly best for us. Jesus prayed during times of great crisis, and he prayed during times of pressing temptation. We know that when Jesus was baptized, that the heavens opened up and God declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear him." Now, after this spiritual mountaintop experience, Jesus then was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. How did he prepare for that temptation? Well, he prepared for that temptation by spending 40 days fasting and in prayer. And so when it came, Jesus had the strength to resist that temptation. Jesus also taught us to pray, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." How many tragic sins and the consequences of those sins do you imagine would be avoided if Christians would just stop and pray in the middle of temptation? Of course, we're very aware of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. You know, we do disservice to the faith and the courage of Jesus when we imagine that the prospects of dying on the cross were any less agonizing to Jesus than they would be to you or I. Because Jesus was a man. He was tempted in every way that we are. Jesus, in Gethsemane, his prayer was tortured. Three times he went back and prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." His sweat became as drops of blood. He was in such agony as he prayed. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, help me," when the time comes, and then we do the work of overcoming temptation, dealing with that trial. Well, the prayer life of Jesus shows us that prayer is when we do the work. And that prayer is when Jesus gives us the strength to help. When Jesus prayed, when Jesus prayed that Jesus struggled. He struggled in prayer. However, when the temptation came, Jesus had the strength to deal with that temptation, a strength that came to him as he was spending time in prayer. When Jesus' sweat became as drops of blood, that's when he was praying. When Jesus was crucified, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and before his shear, he did not open his mouth. Jesus told women who were following him not to weep for him, but to weep for themselves and for their children. When he talked to the thief on the cross about being in paradise, Jesus looked at those who crucified him and said, "Father, forgive them." Where did Jesus get such strength? Well, he got his strength in prayer. Where did Jesus win the victory? Well, Jesus won the victory in prayer. And so by the time the temptation came, by the time the trial came, Jesus had the strength that was already there, the strength that he had gained by spending time with his Father in prayer. If we prepare our hearts and our lives by prayer, we can overcome any temptation. We can triumph over any tragedy. Well, a final observance about prayer from the life of Jesus. How did Jesus pray? Well, first of all, he was submissive, even in the matter of his crucifixion, where he said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done." There was one thing that was never in question, in God's eyes or in Jesus' eyes, and that is that God's will was going to be done. God's will was to redeem man from his sin through the blood of his Son. That was the Father's will, and Jesus was determined to do the Father's will. But until we submit, until we truly desire and understand that God's will must be done, there are times when we are praying about something that we look at as our choice, when we should be looking at it as, "This is God's will." What is God's will? And when we say, "What is God's will?" we're not just using a form of a statement, "God's will be done." We should truly contemplate what God would have us do. And in every situation we find ourselves in, there's a way for us to contemplate and come to an understanding of what God would have us do. Looking at the prayers of Jesus, we find that they were centered around people and the importance of the need for God in our life. Generally, we refer to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13 as the Lord's Prayer that we read in our text, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." It's true that Jesus gave us that prayer to teach his disciples the true spirit and elements of prayer, but it would be more accurate here to look at John the 17th chapter as being the Lord's Prayer, because this is a prayer that the Lord himself was making. And as we read the 17th chapter of John, we see what truly was the Lord's Prayer, because it's the one that he himself prayed. And in that prayer, first of all, we see that Jesus prayed for himself. John 17 begins, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true and only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work that you have given me today. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you, with you before the world was. So Jesus prayed for himself. There's nothing wrong with taking our needs to God. God wants us to. In the model prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. He taught us to pray for our spiritual needs. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He taught us to pray for forgiveness, even as we forgive those who sin against us. We should pray each day for ourselves that we will bring glory to God in our lives, even as Jesus did. Secondly, he prayed for others. Jesus prayed for his disciples in verse 15 by saying, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so he prayed for his disciples that God would keep them from the evil one. And he would set them apart through the truth. And then Jesus prayed for you and I. Have we ever thought about that? All of these years ago, as Jesus was dying on the cross, his thoughts were upon us. Because he said, I do not pray for these alone in verse 20, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So what is the Lord's prayer for us? Well, the Lord's prayer for us is a prayer for unity, that we may be one. And he and the Father give us the example of what it is to be one. And the Lord wants us to be one with each other, that's the same way in which he and the Father are one. When will people who claim to follow Jesus reawake to the point that Jesus wants us to be united? It's not the Lord. The Lord established a church, his church, and he wants those who are saved to be added to it. And he wants us to remain one in our teachings, one in the way that we worship. He wants us to be the church that he established. He doesn't want us to decide what we want the church to be, but rather he wants us to remain true to what he has taught us that he wants the church to be. And so there are so many incentives that we have to think of others when we pray. And whenever it is that we are dealing with difficulties, or we're dealing with people, we need to remember that Jesus is praying for us. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. We would be more mindful if every time we are with a loved one, neighbor, or friend who is lost, we should be reminded that they're important to God. He loved them. Jesus died for them. And he's praying for them. Are we? I truly believe the first step towards winning the lost is praying for them. The more we pray for them, the more likely we are to do something to win them. In fact, I believe a good way to measure the life of any Christian is, for what do we pray? Each of us should ask God, Lord, teach us to pray. And each of us should seek to pray like Jesus prayed. Prayer is a spiritual blessing that is had truly only by the children of God. Only the children of God can address God as our Father. And what a blessing it is to be able to pray. What a blessing it is to know whatever's going on in our life, that He is there, that He hears our prayers, that Jesus cares, and He stands ready to hear and to answer our prayers. You know, I've been with some people because they have basically rejected God in their life, came to a crisis point in their life, and they realized they didn't know how to pray. And it wasn't because they had never learned to pray, it's because they never understood what prayer was. What a tragedy it would be to need, and we're all going to have, we have this need every day, but what a tragedy it is to someone to recognize that he needs to call out to God. And yet God is not there because he has not prayed that in the way that God has wanted him to. So it may be a wonderful reason for us each to reevaluate our life and to examine our prayer life and see if we are getting out of and putting into prayer what God would have us to. If there's anyone this evening who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation or has that desire, we encourage you to come while together we stand and while we sing.